Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and as Jerry Seinfeld once said, I'm on no sleep, no sleep. That's because of the Mueller report, or U.S. Attorney General Robert Barr's summary of the Mueller report, which is one of the things we're going to talk about today. The other is the presidential election coming up this Sunday in Ukraine. When I say we, I mean me and my guest this week, RFERL Enterprise editor Carl Schreck. Welcome, Carl. It's great to have you on the show again.
Great to be back, Steve.
All right. So the Mueller report. Yesterday, Attorney General Barr issued a 3 to 4 page summary of special counsel Robert Mueller's report on his 22-month investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. There are two main findings here. There were two big questions and two main findings. According to Barr, Mueller said that the investigation, quote, did not establish that members of President Donald Trump's campaign, quote, conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. So in other words, the investigation did not establish collusion by Trump or his campaign, according to what Barr said about Mueller's report and his investigation. On the other main question of whether Trump obstructed justice, attempted to interfere or interfered with the investigation itself, Barr said that Mueller did not make a judgment on that. He provided evidence on both sides of the issue. But Barr quoted Mueller as saying that his report, quote, does not conclude that the president committed a crime, but also does not exonerate him. And that was kind of the first thing to come out yesterday, the idea that Mueller is saying, you know, my report does not prove that Trump committed a crime, but does not exonerate him. But what happened here is that while Mueller declined to make a judgment about whether Trump had obstructed justice, Barr and Deputy Attorney General, or Barr said that he and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein concluded that the evidence Mueller gathered was, quote, not sufficient to establish that Trump committed obstruction of justice. So, I mean, Trump cast this as a big victory, complete and total exoneration. He said Democrats are angry, and they're saying we want to see the whole Mueller report. And they also are angry and pointing out that it was not Mueller but Barr who's saying, okay, there's not evidence that that Trump committed obstruction of justice. So I think there's plenty of room for continued confrontation in the U.S. Carl, what do you think how do you think the Kremlin is viewing these developments?
Well, I think, excuse me, my answer would be twofold. On the one hand, I think that you know, the Kremlin, to a certain degree or to a great degree, certainly enjoys seeing the, you know, what it sees as the U.S. political system kind of devouring itself. And so I think there's, you know, the past 2 years we've seen a lot of schadenfreude coming out of the Kremlin on this, and I think that this is enjoyable for them, you know, to see the two main political factions in the United States at each other's throats, and it doesn't look like it's going to subside at all, regardless of whatever conclusions are in the Mueller report. On the other hand, there is, I don't think, practically speaking, there's not a lot for Russia to benefit from this because, you know, I don't think they're under any illusions right now, although they may say otherwise out loud, that, you know, the conclusions in the Mueller report are going to lead to any great new rapport between Washington and Moscow, because Russia, as before, is, you know, any such overtures by the Trump administration are going to be seen as toxic in Washington, no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, those are both very good points. I mean, on the second one, you know, obviously Trump is unlikely to come out and say, look, so there's no collusion, that's proven now. And so let's, you know, let's move ahead and let's, you know, get all friendly with Russia. So, you know, I don't see that happening. But as you say, there are already efforts by Russian officials or top lawmakers to cast this as, well, now we can move ahead and improve relations. Konstantin Kosachev of the upper house of parliament said just that. And he also said, well, now it's been proven that there was no collusion. We knew that all along. But in fact, I mean, what the one thing that Barr's letter and Mueller about Mueller's investigation does say is that you know, there were it sort of provides more evidence of Russian meddling in the election. One of the things it says is that there were, quote, multiple efforts by Russian multiple offers by Russian affiliated individuals to assist the Trump campaign. So whereas it's sort of, you know, Trump is claiming that it exonerates him and his people, it's also saying that Russia, you know, did meddle and there were specific efforts to do that. Now, whether Putin really cares about that, you know, is another issue. And I think that kind of additional evidence or statements of Russian meddling is overshadowed for Russia by the positive effect of, well, you know, we continue to be able to divide Americans and U.S. politics. You know, that's I guess a plus if that's their goal. But as you say, you know, what is the concrete result of that? You know, how is Russia going to see any positives from that in terms of concrete improvement of relations is another matter. You did mention kind of the Schadenfreude, and you could see that. I saw a report this morning, just kind of an analysis on state-run RIA Novosti, saying that, you know, Rachel Maddow, it's hard to make her cry, but she was almost crying when she was talking about the results of Mueller's investigation or what Barr said about it. So there was a concrete piece of Schadenfreude right there on the part of Russian state-run TV.
Yeah, I definitely think they're going to Russian, and Russian state media will be obviously playing up the no collusion part and downplaying and denying the election hacking part.
Exactly, yes. And, you know, some people say that the results of this are going to improve Trump's chances of winning a second term. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out in Russia. Okay. And speaking of elections, on the other topic we want to talk about is the Ukrainian presidential election coming up this Sunday, March 31st. Now, the front runners going into the vote are incumbent Petro Poroshenko, former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko, and the comedian, who's a political novice, Volodymyr Zelensky. So basically, Carl, I'm going to ask you the same question about this. How is the Kremlin viewing this election in Ukraine?
Well, the Kremlin itself has been pretty reserved on the issue so far. I think the signals that we're seeing from the Kremlin proxies in the Russian parliament is that the goal that I see is either to, you know, they're hopeful that Poroshenko will lose, or to, you know, as much as they can discredit him so that he, as much as possible, so that he is, you know, a weaker president when he's in office. We already have Alexei Pushkov, the you know, prominent member of the upper house of parliament in the foreign affairs realm, you know, saying that Poroshenko will clearly need falsifications in order to win. So they're already, you know, even in case of a Poroshenko victory, kind of laying the groundwork for this line that that it will only be the result of election fraud. And Zhirinovsky, you know, you can take Zhirinovsky with a grain of salt, but in many regards, he does put out these these test balloons, you know, just painting Poroshenko basically as the candidate of the United States and saying that that's why he's going to win no matter what. So on the one hand, he can only win because of falsifications. On the other hand, also because of the because of his support from the United States. you know, Peskov, the Kremlin, Putin spokesman Dmitry Peskov, came out last month. I think it was last month, saying, you know, he sees no that Putin sees no sober voices in the Ukrainian political sphere, and you know, realistically, I think that they wouldn't mind a necessarily a Tymoshenko presidency just because of the past. Experience Putin has in dealing with Tymoshenko. They've been able to find common ground on certain matters in the past. But I think above all, the goal would be either to, you know, have anybody but Poroshenko, but if Poroshenko is there, to have him, you know, be politically weak at home.
Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, certainly it sounds like what Peskov was saying about, you know, no sober voices seen. You know, that's a way for the Kremlin and Russia to kind of prepare for, well, if Poroshenko does win again, or just if whoever wins, if things don't change very much, well, you can chalk that up to that, the perception in Russia, or the stated perception that there's nobody who's really, you know, who's a sober there. I think that's a way to kind of hide or prepare for the idea that, you know, yes, they've made clear, they've criticized Poroshenko quite adamantly. They made clear that they don't want him to continue being president. But on the other hand, I'm not sure the Kremlin sees what, and I agree that, you know, Tymoshenko, they might be more happy or happier with that, with her winning. But I think after, you know, things have changed in Ukraine since Russia took Crimea and you know, got involved in the war in the east. So I think the chances of relations kind of improving significantly are probably pretty small. And I think the Kremlin sees that. So I think there's not going to be a lot of change, especially immediately after the election, which presumably, or it seems like, is going to go to a second round in any case. If nobody gets 50% in the first round this Sunday. One thing that will be interesting, I think, to look at or to watch after the election is, you know, whether anything will change for the better, or, you know, whether there'll be any movement toward a solution in eastern Ukraine. That's kind of frozen now, and you know, in part because Russia's waiting for these elections to see what's going to happen. Okay, well, let's wrap it up for today. I'll be back next Monday with a guest, and meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for The Week in Russia, my newsletter about recent events and what they might mean going forward.